Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. We're still in that first chapter of Mark, but there's a lot going on. So, as soon as they left the synagogue, they, being Jesus and the disciples, entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed by demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went to a deserted place where he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let's go on to the neighboring town so I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, as you look up here to the front of our sanctuary, you notice we have set the table, and soon we will commune together. We will go through the ritual laid out for us by our spiritual ancestors, passed down to us through countless generations. It is here at this table that we gather as a people, not of any particular social class, not of any particular ethnicity, not of any particular gender, age group, or whatever. We come here to this table as ones created in God's image, created to be children of God. And today we are gathered as the body of Christ and citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are here to hear the word proclaimed through music and spoken word. We are here to offer thanks for what God, through Christ, has already done for us, forgiven our sin, created the church so we have community in which to grow and learn about each other and about God, offered us a pathway to abundant life. We are here to do what we have always done, to worship and learn, to encounter Christ, and to respond by carrying with us the kingdom of heaven as we go about living our lives. Our passage today sums up who and what we are. It lays out our calling. Mark has told us now is the time for the Messiah to appear. Now is the time. The kingdom of God is at hand, and Jesus is that Son of God, and he has power over the spiritual world. As we read last week, he could exorcise demons. Today we learn he has the power over physical world. He can heal sick. He can heal sickness and make people whole again. He has the power to make us whole in mind, body, and spirit. And in these first verses of Mark, he shows us this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like then and today. He tells us where we land in that kingdom of God. He tells us not only is it at hand, but this is where you belong in it. So in the midst of all the miraculous events at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we must never forget that he worked with ordinary people. His disciples were very ordinary people with jobs and families and even mothers-in-law. When they take a break and head to Peter's house, we discover that his mother-in-law is sick with a terrible fever. And in a time when medical knowledge was limited, a fever could often indicate someone was in a life-threatening situation. Jesus, when he hears of her condition, goes to her, takes her hand, and raises her up. The fever is gone, and she is healed. Jesus, we learn, has the power over the physical world in addition to the spiritual. He brings healing with him, healing and wholeness, signs of the kingdom of heaven, where suffering ceases, where all barriers to communion with God and with each other are broken. This is what Jesus brings with him. Mark is saying, look, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And when he shows us what the kingdom of heaven is like, he also shows us our response to it, which is service. What happens when our lives are touched by Christ? We serve. When Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law's hand, she was healed. She hopped up and began to serve the people in her house. There was no holding her back. She was up and at him. And at first glance, this seems rather ungracious, doesn't it? Those men should have her sitting at the table, and they should be serving her. After all, she had been sick. But no, there she goes. She is serving. But there's more to this situation than meets the eye. In this passage, we cannot lose sight of the fact that the Gospel of Mark, many consider to be the first gospel ever written, and that it was written to the early church, probably in the middle of the first century. They were a people who knew what it was like to gather in each other's homes. That's where the church began, at home. They would have seen themselves in this passage and understood what was going on because they gathered around each other's tables. They knew the good, the bad, and the ugly of each other's lives, when someone was sick, when someone needed healing. They were a part of one another in community. And they lived very much as the early disciples lived with Christ. As the healed woman hops up to serve, what we may not realize reading the English text as it's been translated, that the word for servant in Greek is a word very familiar to many of us. Does anyone know what it is? I see that hand. Deacon. Deacon, yeah, diakonos. And so whenever we think of the word deacon, we think of someone who is an installed person with an ordained and has a responsibility. They're even listed in the Book of Order, for goodness sake. But the word deacon is servant. We just don't bother to translate it when we're talking about the person who's been ordained and installed and that sort of a thing. So whenever we are touched by Christ, whenever our lives are transformed by Christ, you know what we do? We deacon. We serve. Many point to Peter's mother-in-law and say she was the first deacon of the early church because her response, her direct response to Christ, was to get up and serve. They served whenever they received Christ into their lives. They served Christ and they served one another. That is the image of the kingdom of God that Mark has us see today. And as simple as this story is, it sums up our lives as disciples. It gives us our basic common call, service to Christ by serving others. This has been our purpose from the very beginning, and it is still our purpose today. Just as Jesus' disciples spent time with him, talking with him, learning from him, we're called to do the same. We're called to continue to meet Jesus through the Word, through Bible study together and on our own. We're called to continue to pray together on our own, to pray for wisdom, to pray for those whom we love and those we don't. We're called to continue to pray for purpose, for vision, for healing, for understanding. We're called to continue praying to open ourselves to hear the message Christ has for us. Just as Peter's mother-in-law did, we are called to serve. And as Jesus' disciples did, we are called to serve. And just as Jesus did, we are called to serve. This is a way of proclaiming the word in our everyday lives. To serve, to bring healing and teaching, and to share ourselves and to be present with those who are in need of something that we might have and that we can share. This is demonstrating the kingdom of heaven on earth and proclaiming as we go through our lives. This is the work of the church, of those who follow Christ. This has always been the work of the church, regardless of the time or place in which the church has found itself. In our modern life, in the days that we have, in which we are living, sometimes it's easy to lose a sense of common calling. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of what we have and share together. We cannot deny that in our country today, we live in a time when all of the talking heads on radio, internet, and television and newspapers are telling us that we are indeed a nation who is divided. There are two colors, apparently, in our country. There are only two crayons we can use to color, and that is red and blue. Of course, they speak of political issues. There are only two sides to every argument, apparently, now in our country. Liberal or conservative, or right or wrong, or us and them. But in the church, we know as many congregations gather, many of them, mainline denominations like we are, most of us are some shade, lovely shade of purple, where red and blue come together. Because we have a common calling, which supersedes any sort of political or ideological bent of the day. So living together in the kingdom means we live authentically with each other, even with our long list of differences. Why? Because our common call is to serve. It is to serve Christ by serving others, and thus demonstrate the kingdom of heaven on earth. For a couple of months, the dinner and discipleship group that meets on Thursday nights after Fired Up has been reading a book called Christianity for the Rest of Us by Diana Butler Bass. And for this book, she spent time with many congregations across the country, mainline denominations, many of which are similar to ours in size, tradition, location, that sort of thing. The featured congregations are ones which have found ways to thrive where other mainline congregations have closed their doors. The common thread the congregations share as they thrive and as they have continued to grow where others have not, the common thread is their commitment to drawing closer to God through spiritual practices like prayer, study, service, worship, contemplation, and community. These congregations sought to be together for more than just social support or tradition or comfort, or even to be with people who were just like they were and viewed the world exactly the same. Rather, they gathered together to be transformed by Christ. They gathered together for the purpose of transformation. They gather together as people who have known the healing touch of Christ and want to better understand how to serve Him, how to proclaim the good news. They join together as people from wide backgrounds, but with a common calling. They look at the world, and they see where they can proclaim the good news by healing, teaching, forgiving, loving, praying, feeding, working together to do what Christ has asked them to do. One congregant was asked how the congregation puts aside their ideological differences to be such a diverse community, full of people from all walks of life, from all economic strata and ideological strata within their city and within the country. And he responded, well, we started focusing and praying about what God wants us to do rather than what we want for ourselves. They focused on what God wants for them rather than what they want for themselves. This is the common calling that we all have. Regardless of our perspective on the world, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our age, regardless of our accents, our families of origin, what brings us together is the common call of Christ, the common call of the one who lived and died and rose for us, who said, I have the power over the natural and the spiritual world. And the power that I use in this world is the power of love, the power of grace, the power of healing, the power of forgiveness, mercy, and justice. And we who are recipients of that power, whose lives have been transformed by that power, we gather together today at this table, this one table that binds us together, that defines who we are, because all of us come here as equal in the sight of Christ. We come here today to gather around this table with our common calling to focus on Christ and what God wants for us rather than what we want for ourselves. So let us serve Christ by serving others for the sake of the kingdom of God, because it is at hand. And let us proclaim together, as Christ did when he left Peter's house, knowing that this is what we have come to do anyway, to proclaim the good news, to bind together, to hold one another's hands, and move together with our common calling to serve Christ by serving others. Amen.